It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. Tim Hagen joins us on the line this morning from NRRI, and boy, have they come up with something amazing. When you think about biofuels, or you hear the word biofuels, probably the first thing you think is ethanol, but this is not that. Hi, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Tell us a little bit more about your new biofuel, and so that people are aware, this is not ethanol, for example.
Well, this is a solid fuel material that's created by gathering forest residues, you know, and converting it into a coal by a roasting process. So we basically take these forest residues and we dry them and we roast the volatiles out of them, much like coffee grounds, much like how coffee is roasted. So we roast the volatiles out of it and produce a carbonaceous structure. And then we're able to compact that into little briquettes that burn, look, and touch, and feel, and grind like coal.
Okay, so you got my attention when you said coffee. The minute you started, talking about roasting it, I started thinking, "Wow, what does it smell like?" And have you ever tried putting a little bit in boiling water just to see what would happen? One of my first questions, though, when I noticed the photograph in the article and I started to read, coal is so political right now. It's so fraught. There are parts of the country where coal mining is, in many instances, the way iron mining is regarded up here. It's a dangerous profession. Coal is a dirty fuel, and people are trying to turn away from coal, and yet there are people whose entire lives have been built around coal mining. Did the political nature and all of the emotion and the additional things swirling around the whole idea of coal make it more or less tempting for you to try to come up with an alternative to coal, a coal replacement, if you will?
Well, you know, one of the things that NRI does very well is to, you know, bridge the gap, so to speak. So when we look at declining coal sales, we want to have an opportunity where we can help to engage the coal industry with the biocoal industry, in that we can create designer fuel blends that, you know, can help to extend the life of power plants that are at the end of their useful life. You know, because biocoal doesn't have the pollutants in it that coal does. There's no sulfur in it. There's no mercury in it. And so some of these power plants that are bumped up against their emission profile, you know, they can actually, you know, improve that by coal firing with coal. And we've, you know, investigated opportunities where you can blend biocoal with fossil coal and you can create a compact that burns, grinds, look, and touches like coal. And we view that as a great opportunity for not only the fuel industry, the fossil coal industry, but also the biocoal industry to bridge that gap.
What are you hearing as you reach out to the coal industry? To a certain extent, for just the reasons that you mentioned, I would imagine that they would some of them perhaps would have a sense that you had just thrown them a lifeline.
Well, we're kind of new to that arena, so we're trying to, you know, investigate and explore and exploit those opportunities. And having a coal dock right here in Duluth, you know, that's one opportunity for us where they take that coal and they ship it up the St. Lawrence Seaway to power plants down on the Great Lakes. Well, here's an opportunity where if we blended some of that material and compacted it in the right manner, maybe there's an opportunity upstream there to where we could really use that asset and create the value, continue to create the value proposition around this material.
Is there enough, what did you call it, forest residue? Is there enough forest residue, or is that just a foolish question?
Well, you know, actually you have to be kind of careful, you know, on how you strategically choose to partner with folks. You know, I mean, just to give you an example, you know, one 1,000 megawatt power plant, you know, that would eat up essentially the whole sustainable harvest in the state of Minnesota. So one has to be a little bit careful on how you choose to partner in these situations. So there's strategic, you know, places where you can implement this at smaller size facilities, you know, to where it can really make a lot of economic sense and help to extend the useful life of that asset. You know?
So in a sense, you're not thinking bigger, you're thinking smaller.
Well, we're thinking, I like to think that we're thinking strategically.
Right. Right, yes. Exactly. But bigger in this instance is not necessarily better.
That's correct.
So what comes next?
I think as we explore the opportunities around this fuel stock, I mean, we have the capabilities now to produce, you know, lots of material to where it can be co-fired at various places. We just completed a co-firing trial in partnership with the Coalition for Advanced Wood Energy Systems out in Boardman, in which we proved that, you know, this material, it grinds like coal, it feels like coal, it burns like coal, and that was a huge step forward. And then also, you know, we took this fuel stock and we burned it in a steam locomotive down at the Milwaukee Zoo, and again, it burned like coal, it touched like coal, it ground like coal, it burned hot, and everybody was satisfied. So now that's kind of unleashed some additional opportunities for us that we want to keep exploiting this and advancing the value proposition around building a bio-based, you know, carbon-based economy around this material.
Well, and coming from a family with a steam engineer in it, the train people, of course, would be thrilled about this. This is really great news. Tim, is there any potential for this, or is it not practical for reasons to offer this as an alternative for people to use for their own home heating? There's plenty of houses in this town that still
have coal bins. That's a really good question. That's right at the heart of, you know, what I feel is that, you know, if you're going to walk the walk and talk the talk around biomass, you have to really, you know, participate. And I heat my home with wood pellets, you know, and I heat my home with wood pellets because it saves me money. Okay, now when you look at the value proposition around a torrefied wood pellet compared to a white wood pellet, you know, there's a value proposition there that essentially states that a 30-pound bag of torrefied pellets has the same energy content as a 40-pound bag of white wood pellets. So the fuel density is much higher. And then when you start comparing that to, you know, let's say the volume of a typical propane tank, you know, we can actually get densities that when you start looking at the energy density of these pellets, it'll actually, if you filled up that tank, it'll have almost the same energy content of that propane that's in that tank. So, I mean, that makes the logistics of shipping this fuel around much easier because you're shipping energy. It's not just pounds. You're shipping energy.
Well, that will be interesting to find out if I'm curious. For example, you say that you heat with wood pellets. Could you put these new coal pellets into your existing infrastructure, into your existing furnace, burner, whatever it's called? Or would you need to kind of retrofit it a little bit?
Well, there's a little bit of problem there in that, you know, the because of the increased fuel content, you know, the air to fuel ratio needs to be fine tuned somewhat. But that will come as this market materializes. I've actually used these pellets in my Harman, you know, wood pellet stove at home. And they burn great, you know, but it does need the air to fuel ratio to be adjusted and fine-tuned somewhat.
But that's certainly not like saying, yep, you know, you could heat your house with this, but you got to rip out all the everything and
put in all the new. That's just an easy fine-tuning adjustment.
Fantastic. Tim, I just love it when somebody comes on the show and delivers good news. Thanks so much for doing that for us this morning.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Tim Hagen of NRRI, our guest this morning on Green Visions. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items. And Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Port supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.